Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Check, check, check.
Check.
Yep. No more buzz. That's good.
Check, check.
Speaking of buzz.
Speaking of buzz.
You're going on vacation.
Woohoo! Yeah, I'm about ready to leave.
Yep. Vacay mode.
I mean, I guess I took a few days, like, after Easter, after you. We're recording. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, should we? Welcome to Continuing Conversations. Oh, I'm Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Dana.
Great. Now, keep talking.
That was like the soundbite, you know, before the introduction.
We'll use this on the socials.
I took a few days after Easter, like the after Easter, because you took off after. Anyway.
Yeah, immediately after Easter, I got out of town, which felt very nice.
Yeah, haven't had a few days off in a while, so I am excited.
Good.
To go to Mexico.
Woohoo! Mexico.
Woo!
Very exciting.
Yeah.
That should be fun. Where at in Mexico?
I'm not telling. Just kidding. Cancun.
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 Fun. I've never been to Cancun. It's one of those
vacation.
I've never yeah,
been
you're ready.
To Mexico.
You're ready to go.
I don't even know what I need to do.
Nap.
Yeah,
you
I
need
do
to
need
nap.
To
I think based on your yawning.
I'm in that phase of leaving for vacation where mm-hmm. I'm like, I need all new clothes. I need to clean my whole house.
Yeah.
I need to clean my car. I need to.
Yeah, a lot needs to get done between now and when their flight takes off. But at the same time,
of like, should I do a face mask? I haven't done a face mask in a year, but do I need to do that before I go on vacation? Maybe.
Maybe. I've never done a face mask, and I've gone on vacation.
And I was like, I feel like I need to do this. And then I was like, why do I need to do this?
A pre-vacation face mask. Something that just must be done.
Yeah. I don't know. What is it?
Feels cleansed.
What is it that feels
begin?
Like you got to get your whole life together before you go on vacation? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, I feel the same way. It's always like, well, because it's very annoying to come back from vacation to a house that's a mess.
Yeah.
So it's like, it feels very good to have everything like put away, clean, whatever. So then when you get back from vacation and you're feeling that like, vacation's over, you know, you get those like kind of sads that vacation's over. You're not also depressed because your house is a mess. It's like, at least
depressed.
My house looks nice.
Here's an insight into me living mm-hmm. alone is that I don't care that much if it's messy. Like,
yes,
it's
you're
nice
the only
when it's
one.
Clean, but I'm the like, it's my mess. There's no one else to blame for it.
That's a good point.
And no one else is annoyed by it because it's just me. So I'm like, it's nice to have it clean and put together, but whatever. I can
who
live
cares?
Like this.
It's just you. Well, I feel like I don't know if I'd be able to relax in a, but maybe I'm more type A than you.
I think so.
Yeah, because I can't. I cannot relax.
Few people more type A than me. I do have to say.
I may be one of those people.
You may be one.
I don't know. Maybe. Speaking of your type A-ness,
you're going to talk about Taylor Swift.
Well, I was going to say first, it came from your sermon. That you said that you look ahead at the set list before a concert.
I watch a set list during the concert.
You're
like, what song
here comes
is next?
They're going to segue into this next song. I can hear it.
It doesn't take away from my concert experience.
You love
it.
You like
that.
To follow along with the set list.
Well, I will transition to Taylor
that's
Swift,
very
actually,
type a.
to this. Because
that's what I was going
to
ask you.
Were you going to bring this up? That I went to the very first Eras Tour concert.
And then you went to some of the later ones, right?
Well, yeah, but then everyone knew everything about that.
But
to
it
go
changed.
To the first one.
Yeah, from the first to the last. Does that because my the question
yeah,
I wrote
changed,
down
but,
was
okay.
Did it wig you out at the Eras Tour because her set list changed, right? It wasn't the same show every
any
night.
Any show where I'm like looking at the set list and then it's a different song. I'm like, that's not what they were going to do.
You
that's
deviated
not-
from the plan. You're ruining my
this
plan.
I went to a concert Sunday night and they like flipped two songs and I was like, this isn't on the set list. This isn't, you guys,
you're going
me, stop
against
the whole
my
show.
Plan.
This is not. Other people are like, I just enjoy the music. I'm like, no.
But Taylor stuck to a pretty consistent.
Yes. Well, and then because she also put out the movie of the Eras Tour. So it's like, it was pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. Then towards the end, she threw in the Tortured Poets Department. The deep dive is that every Eras Tour show was live. You could find it live streamed online. Did I watch those grainy live streams? lot.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
So did I know everything that was going to happen even when the Tortured Poets got thrown in there? Yeah. So then the fun part was like the surprise songs.
Right, because there was always one surprise song or a couple. Two surprise songs.
It was one on guitar and one on piano.
And did they happen at different times in the night?
No,
or were they back to back?
Oh, yes, back to back.
She played them back to back, acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
So was this planned probably for like a big set change? Did something big happen to the set while she was doing these two?
Oh, maybe.
Like gave her team time to put something else together?
Or like, you know, eat a snack and take a bathroom break? It's a 3-hour show.
It's a 3-hour show. But I mean, every band does this where it's like, you know, there's a moment for like the drummer to have like a big solo and you're like, wow, this is cool that they're giving him time. But it's like, really, this is just time for everybody else to get off stage.
Okay, so you
have
haven't
a break
watched
and come
the
back.
Tour movie.
No, I know nothing really about it. Except for that she jumps into a thing and then it pulls her under the stage on her belly.
Yeah.
That's
so
fun.
Her,
I know that part.
She has, when she started the Eras Tour, she had 10 different eras.
Right.
So we're going into the Eras Tour and we're like, how is she going to do all of her?
How's she going to reconcile
all
these
of her
eras?
Albums into this? So there were different changes. Like it felt like different acts of a show.
Right.
So the first one was the Lover era and she sang 3 or 4 songs for that. And then there was a big like set change.
Yep.
I mean, everything's digital. So
yeah,
not really,
I guess,
but
yeah,
there was,
screens.
You know, some interlude music and she went backstage to go change and then,
right.
you know, came up after 2 or 3 minutes to the Fearless era.
Got it.
Then did her Fearless stuff and then left. And there's a interlude. Yeah. So they did some stuff
in the
intermissions between that. Sometimes it was just a video that you're watching.
So the bonus, the
Sometimes
surprise
you're trying
songs
to breathe, like,
were probably just because it's fun to switch it up.
Yeah. She
more than like giving her time to switch because she switched a bunch of times.
Oh my gosh. And people were
amazing,
freaking out about the surprise songs. That was a huge.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, it's smart
thing.
Because if this is such a big tour and, you know, everybody wants to go see it just because it's a phenomenon.
Yep.
But even more than that, if there are these little things sprinkled in, these little bonuses.
That was really fun.
So you were saying you went to the first one.
I went to the very first one. So we have no idea what's going to happen.
Right.
We don't know that it's 3 hours long. We found that out like outside before we even went in the venue.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was like, yeah, we talked to someone on set or on the crew and they said it's 3 hours. And we were like, no way.
Yeah. Cause
no
that's
way
insane.
Is she doing a 3-hour show. She has a tour that's a year long. Then she extended it too. So we're sitting in our seats. We're like talking to the girls around us of like, what song do you think she'll play first? Like what? And so we had no idea what was going on. My feet hurt so bad because it was 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The shoes came off. Like I was like, we're done with this.
Yeah. That's a long
it was
time.
Crazy.
I can't believe
it was so cool.
And then that was like a year and a half tour or something like that.
Yeah.
That's just so much.
It went over 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Over 2 years.
Well,
because
she went internationally too and then came back and did a few more in the U.S.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Wow. Crazy.
Okay. There's Taylor Swift.
That's your Taylor Swift update. But the reason why TS is on the top of mind today is because TS12 kind of dropped TS12. Today.
The announcement.
The announcement.
Yes.
So there's a title, The Life of a Showgirl.
Yep.
And
do you know why?
We're just shocked.
I saw a theory why she maybe named it that.
Because of the Eras Tour?
No.
Because she's a showgirl with all
that.
That
up, when you start to type that in, the life of.
Yeah.
It. She will eventually like out search the life of Pablo.
Kanye's
album.
Thing. Oh, that's funny. It's a
Isn't
revenge.
That funny?
Against
it is a little.
I was like,
little,
the life of who?
The
who
life
could
of
she
Pablo.
Be? Life of Pi? No.
Also,
who
great
could she be
album, but I don't know if I support Kanye West. But.
No, let's not support Kanye West. But yeah, that's funny that she tried to. There's a theory that the Disney movie Frozen, because Walt Disney always wanted to make a movie about the Ice Queen.
Yeah.
Because that's like the old fairy tale name. You know, they have all these like grim fairy tale, like Cinderella is one of those Grimm's fairy tales or whatever. The Ice Queen is one of those fairy tales.
Yeah.
But it's called, the movie's called Frozen. And one of the theories is that they named the movie Frozen so that when you search Disney Frozen, the first result isn't Walt Disney Frozen head, because
yes,
because
I
the,
feel like I
the
have
conspiracy
heard,
yeah. is that, do you know Walt Disney froze his head in hopes that someday there's technology where he could like
back,
bring him
right?
back from this like frozen state, which isn't true, but it's a fun theory. And then the theory is, they made the movie Frozen so that it would throw people off the scent. The first search isn't Disney frozen head. Oh my gosh.
That's funny.
That's very funny.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's your Taylor Swift / Disney update for the day. Today we're talking about Luke chapter 12, verse 32 through 40. So you talked a little bit about camp and your time at camp.
My time at camp.
My camp experience as a kid, I went to Camp Wapagasset in Amory, Wisconsin.
Yes.
And I love camp.
Something special about camp.
There's something special about going to camp. It's just such like that is like one of those mountaintop God moments in my life. Like I will always remember my time at camp.
Yeah.
And yes, it's because you're spending this like week away. You know, you're away from your normal friends, you know, at home. You're away from all the technology and stuff. You're away from, you know, you're just like taking this little retreat away. And it's also good because a lot of these camps are like out in nature. So you're like connecting with nature and seeing the stars and all that stuff. But there's also just something about like you're on no sleep. You know, you're eating
crap food.
Crap food, bunch of sugar. Yeah, you're not sleeping. You're with all these new people. You're just singing all these Jesus songs all day. So it's like, yeah, no wonder we have this as like mountaintop experiences. You're like sleep deprived. You're bonding with these people so fast. You know, it's like a pressure chamber to like experience the divine.
It's all happening in one spot.
It's
like
all
you're not,
designed.
You're not leaving each other.
No, you're all just stuck together in this like
there's
pressure chamber.
No room to breathe.
No room to breathe, but there's something. Something magical happens at camps. Yep. So that was my, I loved going to Camp Wapo. You talked about in your camping story, you talked about that they just like let you take a sailboat out, even though you
had no idea. I was like, do we need to like take a class or something?
No, they're just let you take a sailboat out.
Get out there.
Sailing is not an easy thing.
No.
I still don't know how to sail. I took one of the church trips I did in high school was this trip to the Apostle Islands. And you go out in these sailboats. And we had, I think with our group, we had three sailboats. Because sailboats don't sleep a lot of people unless you're in like a mega yacht which these were just like kind of small sailboats. But we stayed in them overnight, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so much fun. But like
that is cool.
Spending a week on that boat, and there was a captain, because obviously we're a bunch of, like, teenagers and, you know, like, the youth director and a pastor. So it's, like, nobody knows how to sail.
Right.
So it's, like,
no,
we have a...
this is, like, serious.
This is serious.
Now.
Like, we're on the Great Lakes, you know. You need a captain to do this. But the captain would try to teach us, like, you know, pull the jib and, you know, pull this line and pull this sheet. And it's, like...
The rudder.
I have no idea. Insanely complicated. All the different, they're not ropes, they're sheets, they call them. Like all these sheets running around everywhere and the jib and the flying mast. And I'm like, it's crazy that they would just let kids take a sailboat and be like, go figure it out. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's where my type A came in to be like,
we probably shouldn't be doing this, right?
Prepared for this. Like, I need to be.
Yeah.
Also, as someone who's like, I need to be the leader of this, you know, I was like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know you people.
Yeah.
I don't know this place.
Just
I
on a boat. Yeah. Like, go.
I'm like, can I have a life jacket? Like,
no.
Just in case.
But they did. They pulled you in.
Yeah. And then, the like college kid came out.
In like a speedboat or like a motor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Little,
I was like, how did
one.
They get it? Yeah. All right. So a tugboat came and.
Yeah. Yeah,
and brought you guys
I'm
in
sure,
so you didn't
I'm
miss
sure
dinner.
He does that 18 times a day.
Oh, I'm
There's
sure,
no
yeah.
way these kids are
Well,
like
they have to expect it.
Right.
Yeah, if they
right.
just let these kids
yeah,
go loose
like,
in a sailboat.
Like, you're good. I'll just tell you. Like, wait, really?
That's crazy. Well, at least they had some plan to get you back.
Yeah, I know.
Because it must happen all the time. But you didn't get kicked out.
We didn't get kicked out.
They didn't kick you out. You even got to have dinner that night.
I know.
That's
I
good.
like I'm not a rule breaker at those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a rule breaker, like, where I can, when right. I think it's funny. But, like, if there's an actual chance of getting kicked out, I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Right.
So I was like, I don't know what this place is going to do to me.
Yeah.
the isolation so cabin trouble. For
yep.
For the week.
There was, speaking of being ready, because that's what mm-hmm. this passage was all about.
Mm-hmm.
You had a quote that said, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. And boy, is that that a hard thing to do. How do you stay ready?
I don't know.
And yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting ready a lot of times.
yeah, I feel like I'm just always in the process of getting.
I'm not staying there. I'm getting there.
Getting ready. Yeah, because that's what this gospel passage is all about.
That's just a.
I don't know. You've got your forever. Manuscript in there, I
yeah,
guess.
Well,
but
I didn't
know.
I'm just going to be honest right now. A lot of this stuff is not how I did my sermon. So
you just kind
of. I don't know why.
Well, you talked about before you got up to give your sermon. You were like, it's funny because this whole week I've been thinking about this because the gospel passage is all about, you know, how do you stay prepared for the master, you know, to come home. You know, this is all Jesus's parable of being ready for the day when God calls us,
mm-hmm.
you know, when the kingdom of God finally comes to the earth, how are we prepared for that day? And what if the master finds us asleep in the house? So how do we stay prepared? How do we be prepared? All that. And you said before you got up, you were like, what if this was one of those weeks I just didn't write a sermon and I just got
I
up
just
and
got
I was
up
like,
there and talked.
Well, let me just wing it. Let me see. Because there are people out there who extemporaneously preach.
I think we should do that for fun one week.
Oh,
but
I don't know. That doesn't sound like fun.
Oh, okay. Sounds like fun to me, but
So for those that don't know, extemporaneous preachers just shoot from the hip.
Yep.
They got no notes.
Yep.
They got no flashcards. They got no, you know, they've got nothing mapped out in their head. I imagine they must
I'm sure
read
they have
ahead.
It mapped out in their head, but they don't
or
have
something
it.
I don't know, you would think, but it seems like some just get up there and they're like, yeah, well, let
let's
me go with that.
Yeah, let's go down this
am I
road
gonna
today
say? How about this? And they just go and I don't know, maybe it's at a certain point in doing this call for this long, you get to a point where you're like, I've got so many sermons that I've preached on this one passage that I can just get up there and kind of go, I'll pull from this, I'll pull from that, and whatever it will be. And I don't know if I could ever do that, because I feel like I'd forget my own name if I
got
up there.
We got some years to go.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
If you're doing this every 3 years, like.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get to it. Yeah, I'm on year 8, so I feel like I'm already kind of in that point where I'm like, I've been around the horn a couple of times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard. This whole being prepared, how do we stay ready? Because being ready is one of those things that, you know, it fills us with anxiety. Being told to prepare.
That's that is the like other part of being ready is that there's so much anticipation for the thing that happens. And so maybe that's not the framework that we should go with of ready, being
Readiness,
ready, staying ready.
How do you
be
ready?
But I think that was more, I was trying a little bit to make a point too of like, we're already living life, like we're already there,
we're
so there's
it.
Not like a okay, everyone go home and pack your suitcase now,
right?
Like to prepare, like we're already here, we're already doing things, we're already living with people,
this
we're
is a
already
good
in relationship with people. Like
this is a good sermon for you this week as you're getting ready to leave. You know, you said go home, pack your suit. It's like you're in this mode, so it kind of makes sense. But
my suitcase was packed, and then I repacked it, and then I rolled my clothes differently to repack it again, and I took some stuff out. So
So I don't know. It's one of those.
Ready.
This is one of those passages that's like it doesn't fill me with hope and peace. This is like. Be ready. Be prepared.
Well,
be on the watch.
This one felt like a calling, kind of a sermon, like of a
So
I wrapped that in there too. Then of like, this is a like, you gotta get to some action here.
Yeah, it just I just feel like I'm behind.
Yeah.
You know, and that's I'm guessing
which
that's kind of the
not
point.
Not like Jesus.
Yeah.
In his this
well
was
we've got a couple of weeks of weird Jesus.
Yeah.
Coming out the passage for next week, and I won't spend any time here talking about next week, but it's a hard one.
Yeah,
It's like not the Jesus that we imagine in
our
head.
We're on our way to the prodigal son.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. But yeah, we got some weird Jesus passages in the next couple of weeks, and this is one of them. It's like, you better be ready, because the thief is going to come in the night, and you won't be prepared, and what will happen?
Right.
It's like, ooh.
Right.
What do we do with that? But I like the way that you kind of turned this into a sermon about how, although we might not feel ready, and although that might fill us with anxiety hearing these passages about better be ready, be on the watch, be ready, be prepared, we're in good company.
Yes.
When it comes to the wider arc of our scriptures, because the Bible is filled with unprepared people who are just handed the keys to the kingdom, like putting a child in a sailboat, telling him to go out on the lake.
Right.
There's a lot of people in the Bible who are just sort of told, like, you're it. You're the promised future. Abraham and Sarah, Moses, King David, Jacob, like all of these people throughout the scriptures.
Oh yeah, Jacob. I didn't even see.
Even Jacob, you know, he's the second born. He's not the firstborn. Esau. Right. Esau is supposed to receive the blessing, and Jacob weasels his way in and gets it. It's the Bible is filled with these stories of the people you'd least expect. Mm-hmm. King David, he's the youngest of the sibling of this of his siblings. Yep. He's the smallest. He's the little shepherd boy. He's not even there when the king comes to town.
Yeah.
Where's David? Well, he's off in the field because he doesn't have a shot. He's the youngest. Right. He's the little baby brother. Why would he be chosen and anointed as the king?
Yep.
You know, Moses, who is he murdered a guy. Right. You know, Moses is a murderer. And he runs off and hides in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And when he's out there in hiding, that's when Jesus or when God appears in the burning bush and reaches out and calls him. So it's just our scriptures are just filled with these people that you'd go, well, this isn't the right guy.
Right. Right.
This isn't the person. Right. They're not prepared. They're not the most worthy. They're not ready. And yet God says, I don't care. You're ready. I don't care.
I don't care what you think.
You're the one who is chosen.
Yeah. Well, and then. Well, I mean, God gets angry in the Old Testament some, but then my point too is God comes back and is like, I'm proud of all this that's going on. I'm proud of you who wasn't prepared and now you are. There's not a like, I don't know, reprimand of these people of like, oh, I called you to this thing and you weren't prepared enough.
And now then
it was a test.
Flailing.
Like it's this like, God's like, I chose right. This is going to be it.
Right.
You know? And so. I don't know. I think that's an encouragement too.
Maybe that was there's some gospel in there for sure.
Yeah, part of hearing the gospel in there.
There's some gospel of, you know, this is good news despite
all
of the things in this life that might tell us that we should be full of fear, full of anxiety or whatever. It's you know, this message in here that the Father delights. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, God wants to give us the keys to the kingdom. Whether we're prepared to receive it or not, you know, whether we're worthy or not. And, you know, newsflash, we're not worthy. And if you look at the scope of human history, you can see lots of reasons why we would not be worthy to receive these blessings. And then the hard part of this, of course, this passage too is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
I know. I didn't do that as much justice as I could have.
Well,
but that's
you only
the
have
one
so
that
much time.
Right. And that, but that's the verse that everyone knows.
Yeah. That's the one that's well quoted.
Right.
And sometimes out of context, sometimes not used in the way it's supposed to be.
Oh.
You know, where our treasure
never
is there.
With the Bible.
Well, yeah, the Bible is never misquoted and taken out of context. But our treasure oftentimes is all wrapped up in stuff and is all wrapped up in our things.
Well, that would be preparing with stuff.
Right.
Right. Like,
and
that's
how we see preparing, right? Is
well,
have all the things.
Well, or cleaning the house before you go on vacation.
Making sure my stuff is organized.
Yeah, it's that
like,
is such a physical way that we have defined preparation for ourselves, you know?
Right.
And well, even I was kind of trying to relate it too to like starting a school year. It's all the things that you need to get. It's all the new clothes that you need. And
supplies.
But I think there's an ask too of a mental preparation and a spiritual preparation of like, we need some prayers going into a new start, into a new school year, into like spend some time in prayer for the kids, for the educators, for the leaders, for the everyone. But that feels less like preparation in our definition of it.
Yeah.
Right? To get your mindset prepared.
Yeah, we don't often do that, do we? We get our kids all ready to go to school by being like, I bought you all the things.
Yep. Yeah.
And I laid them all out by the front door. Now go.
Right.
And it's like, if you're not doing the mental preparing of getting ready for what this year will be, sure, you can have all the physical stuff in the world, but if you haven't, you know, taking the time to get your mind right and processed what's about to unfold, you're going to be floundering too. And that's a lot. That's kind of the funny thing about when I hear the word prepare, I think of preppers. You know, have you ever fallen into this YouTube rabbit hole, TikTok rabbit hole?
Have not.
So preppers, these are people, doomsday preppers. They're getting ready for the end times. Because who knows? And what will it be? If it's a climate change sort of disaster, or is it a nuclear disaster, or is it, you know, like a hostile government takeover? That could never happen. What would you do? So the idea is these people are like, you got to have months of MREs, you know, all these like meals ready to eat things in your basement. And I am not in this world.
Yeah. So yes, I need the clarification.
Potable water, and you have to have all these backup batteries, and you have to have all these things and all these
like
hunting
flashlights
and all this.
Okay.
And like this, how you,
yep.
But all the prepping is wrapped up in stuff.
Yeah, of course.
And that's exactly opposite of what Jesus is saying here.
Right.
Is like, the thief comes in, the moth destroys, like there's nothing you can physically prep that a thief couldn't come in and steal or a moth could destroy. Like, so what is being prepared if it's not these physical things? It's being prepared spiritually. And how do we stay prepared spiritually? But I don't know, having a more robust prayer life, having a better, you know, community life in your faith community. Yeah, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we stay prepared?
Well, it would be the relationships too, right? Like you're not prepared sitting in your house all alone doing nothing. Like, okay, I'm ready. That's
right.
But if you're prepared and you know people and you trust people and you have relationships with them, you're prepared for when something happens with them and there's a need to be met, or that, you know.
That's why we need this.
I don't
want
to say gossip, but like you have kind of an ear to the ground of like what's going on, the stories that are being told within a place. To be able to be involved in and
And it's not, like you said, it's not gossip, but it is funny because here at All Saints, if somebody is in the hospital, the amount of people that will come to church or call the church and say, I heard so-and-so's in the hospital. What's the deal? What's
sometimes
the story?
Before
are they okay?
We even know.
Oh my, it's often before we know, as I'm like, wait, who's in the hospital? Why? What? Wait, what's going on? But that's what this community is for, right?
Yeah.
Is like we all support each other. We help each other. We, you know, if somebody's in the hospital, they're not calling the church and reaching out to the church because they want to gossip.
Right.
They're calling and reaching out because they're, should we set up a meal train?
That's the dangerous zone, though, too.
There are some
that
dabble. Sure.
Well,
right.
Okay, I was at a church that in our prayers of the church, we put the names of people to be prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
And then people would be like, what happened with this person?
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the time, well-intentioned.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's always that little bit of
there's the danger, for sure.
Let's, you know, let's cool it here.
Right.
Stay
in your lane. But for the most part,
I
feel like people are checking in. Yeah.
Because
they want to help them out with either, you know, setting up
Right.
meals for somebody, helping with transportation, helping with...
Yeah.
you know, some sort of at-home cares. I don't know. But it's definitely not about the stuff, which is a lot, I think, what Jesus is saying here about, you know, being ready for the kingdom of God to break into our world. And the question, I think,
do like that he throws in a meal, though, too.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
That the master will sit down and have a meal
and
with
have
you.
A meal like, with you. Yeah. That's good because we need it for the road. But this whole, you know, the kingdom is unfolding before us. So the question I think Jesus is asking us is, if the kingdom were to arrive today, if it were to unfold, break into our world today, would we even see it coming? Would we even see it happening in our midst? Or would our connection to our possessions, to our stuff, to our making sure all of our collections, all of mm-hmm. our little things are okay, would that preoccupy us so much that we would be blinded by it and wouldn't even see it happening?
Probably, but isn't the argument that the kingdom is already here?
And the kingdom is already here and it's already unfolding.
It's already blinding us.
It's like it is, but it isn't at the same time. But yeah, we're blinded to it already.
Yeah.
There are needs in this kingdom already and we're not prepared for it. We're unprepared.
Yeah.
We may think our stuff, our things, all these things that give us peace and security. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that have prepared us, you know, going back to the preppers thing, mm-hmm. you know, they think all of their stuff has prepared them, but really that's what's blinding them
right.
from what's really right. happening in the world.
Well, because they're so focused on the future.
Some future that's
that
not.
Might happen or yeah, might not happen.
They're missing what's happening today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why it seems like the unprepared throughout the Bible get the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, because it's they're those living people, in the moment.
Yeah, that are like, oh, that fringe weirdo guy. Like, think about like John the Baptist.
Oh, yeah.
Living yep. in the wilderness, yep. eating locusts, wild hair, you right. know, he's yep. covered in honey and whatever. It's like this crazy person is getting the kingdom of heaven. You know, this man has the keys right now.
Well,
he's
then,
not prepared for anything. But it's like, but it's those
makes
people who are free of the distraction.
And
maybe
causing some chaos with all of the
right.
other ones
mm-hmm.
who think that they're so prepared.
Think they have
the
it
kingdom.
Together. Think
right?
they're the
that
ones. Yeah.
Then all of the priests and the, you know, I don't know, put together people.
Right.
Are, yeah, they're sent into this tizzy of like mm-hmm. and anger over the other ones who are
right.
kind of the chosen ones and
right.
and the chosen ones, the John the Baptists, are like, mm-hmm. I don't know, I was chosen for the, you know.
Yeah, that's why it's
I don't
so
know,
troubling.
I didn't go look for it. It just kind of.
I don't know. I was chosen for it, even though,
right.
yeah, on paper, I would be the last person you would think to
right.
be
right.
a recipient of this
yeah.
gift.
Well, and how many times was David like, what is this calling? Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Like, choose someone else.
That's also no. very. Yeah, that's a repeated theme throughout the Bible as well. It's the unexpected person is chosen by
yeah.
God,
mm-hmm.
and then the person chosen is completely reluctant to actually do it. Of like, oh gosh, send anybody else, God. Like, please, anybody but me. I'm slow of tongue. You know,
yeah.
I'm too young. I'm too old. Like, it's just every excuse in the book.
Yeah.
They're the reluctant
yep.
one that doesn't want it, and they're the ones time and time again to be chosen.
Yeah,
and I don't. It's something about them being prepared in a kingdom sense, not in a worldly sense.
Right.
And that's
Which we
what there's
haven't
the disconnect.
Figured out.
Still
yet.
Not. Still
right.
not.
Right.
So yeah, being prepared maybe less to do about having everything all together and just having those little spaces in your life
yeah.
carved out where you can listen to the Spirit's calling. You can listen to that still
mm-hmm.
small voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you're running around mm-hmm. tending to all of your things, tending to all this stuff, you're not making room for that still small voice to call and hear that call and get to work
mm-hmm.
in whatever the Spirit's calling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, it's not, this isn't some future someday will be. It's the kingdom is here,
yep.
like you said.
Yep.
So what do we do with it now? How do we move in this world? That's what I feel like Jesus is calling us to do in this kind of funny little weird parable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There's something about just giving in and letting life be what it is from time to time. It's getting in the little sailboat, even though you don't know how to don't know how to operate it, and letting yourself just float into the middle of the lake like you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This passage is weird.
It is weird. Like I said, we got a couple weeks of weird Jesus going on. I'm excited for our conversation next week for sure.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Have you looked ahead at the reading?
I haven't.
Oh, good. Yeah, you're in vacation mode.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fun one. Well, did you have any more thoughts or?
I'm trying to think of our calling as pastors.
Yeah.
And how many weird pastors there are out there. Well, maybe not, and maybe not totally in the ELCA, but I don't know, the preachers in sneakers where they they have $400 shoes or whatever.
Right.
Like,
oh my gosh,
some of like the evangelical.
Yeah, the shiny, perfect teeth.
People, and what does a calling look like then if you're one who just wants the accolades and the money and the stuff?
You're doing it for the clout and the...
But at some point there had to have been some kind of calling. Did that just get...
Yeah, where did that go?
Manipulated in some way or something? Like, I don't know. That's what I'm thinking, is that can we mess up these callings?
Yeah. And I think
so.
I would also say that's scriptural as well.
Right.
How many people are called throughout scripture and then
mess it up?
King David is a great example of that. Like just at the beginning, you know, it started great. And then next thing you know, he's murdering his own men so he can sleep with their wives.
Right. Right.
Well, that's something that he gets called out for by prophets called by God to call him out. It's just, and that's something we can't seem to escape either. It's the old, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
What is that from?
Spider-Man or something. I don't know. Anyway, but it's true. It's like throughout Bible, our scriptures, there are people who are called by God to do this thing, and eventually they give in to temptation and turn to the dark side, and then God needs to raise up a prophet to come and speak truth to that person and kind of bring them down to size, and then a new person is raised up, and it's like, look at this new leader, it's going to be great for a time. We're all human at the end of the day. We all fall short, you know, no matter how well our intentions are and no matter how well things start, doesn't always work out perfectly for us. So, yeah, I think these callings can get...
Well, of course, yeah. And we've seen that. Okay.
And we've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
Happens everywhere.
But when... Yeah. And that's why people distrust pastors. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Because we are human, too. Yeah. Like,
It happens with pastors. It happens with politicians all the time, too. A politician can run on a very populous platform and be very beloved. And they get into power.
Less spiritual calling.
Less spiritual. It might start off kind of spiritual. Like, this is a person of the people, you know. They're saying all these things.
I would like to believe that politicians want to get into it to be a leader for the people.
I try not to bring up names, but, like, John Fetterman. What happened with Fetterman? He ran on this platform of, like, here's a guy who wears a hoodie all the time, and he's a man of the people. And the people loved him. And it's like, he's going to speak for us. He gets to Washington and completely folded.
Yeah.
It's like he immediately took the money and went, I'm not going to help out with any of those things I said I was going to fight for. It's like, what? I don't want to cast aspersions or anything, but it seems like he just got paid or something. Like, he just got paid off and now he's not doing anything he promised to do.
Yeah.
You know? And so I didn't mean to get personal. I hope you're not listening, Senator Fetterman. But that happens as well. Is like people
like
start off with the
I don't
want to
name drop, but John
Fetterman.
But I'm going
to say actual names. But it's like people do in all areas of life. They might start off with the best of intentions. And, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Isn't that that's a phrase?
Yeah.
And that's true, too.
Right.
It's like you can start off with the best of intentions, but you get to a certain point and you you fall into your humanness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we got to keep some form of humility through this thing.
Well, I don't. And then I'm going back to like the preparedness, the preparedness. Is that a thing?
That is a thing. Yeah.
Preparedness is the fruits of the spirit then.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like that would have to be the
right.
the inside.
Yeah.
Preparing your hearts mm-hmm. and what, like stuff yeah. like that. And,
yes.
And I don't know. Feels. Yeah. And then it feels harder to do when you get thrown into the calling mm-hmm. thing like John Fetterman, and you actually get to the place
you get all
where
the keys
you're trying
to, power.
To get.
And then you're like, ooh, I'm comfy now.
Yeah, that's the temptation mm-hmm. yeah. then is like, well, all that preparation.
I don't got to do any of this now. Yeah, I know. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't think there's anything we can do to avoid our human nature. But I think that's kind of where this
yeah.
passage is going.
Yeah.
Is you can be prepared all you want with all these things, but yeah. God's going to keep calling those that we see as unprepared because they're actually the most prepared, just not in the way that we think, not on our terms, but on God's terms.
Or they're not prepared, and that's the
and
point.
That's the point, yeah, because they're
there's a, like,
they're open
when you're
to
not
it,
prepared, you do have to live in the moment and figure it out in,
yeah.
in time with, mm-hmm. you know, what's yeah. happening. So...
Mm-hmm.
If you're prepared and going in with a game plan that's not going to work,
right.
you're less able to adapt
yeah.
to change?
Question mark?
That's what I got. Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. That's what I got.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about John Fetterman now that we've turned this into
yeah.
a name drop.
Yeah.
And my, I don't know, maybe my argument that if his relationships with the people were deeper or more trustworthy or honest,
mm-hmm.
that would have been a better preparation for him going into Washington.
Yeah.
Of he would have had a deeper care for the people.
Yeah.
Than he would have for the corruption or whatever.
Right.
That he's
whatever he's
paid
encountered.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. Like
yeah. accountability.
Yeah.
Is there a
yeah.
more open communication connection with your people to create that sort of accountability? I don't know.
And maybe not. Maybe that's out there. I believe it would be a stronger defense at least.
Yeah.
Like it's
I
not,
guess so.
Maybe it wouldn't have been foolproof, but
I don't know.
Money talks, you know.
Yeah. True that. True that.
Yep.
And
that's all from the life of a showgirl.
Yeah. Do you think, is that going to be the sign-off for the next?
No.
I don't know.
And that's all.
All right. When is
Hope you enjoyed the show.
Album's dropping in October?
No, I've explained this to you three times.
I know, and I keep
this
forgetting.
This is the third.
Okay.
When you go on the website and you try to pre-order the
yes.
album, you get a notice that says it will ship on or before October 13th. So she hasn't released.
So I wasn't
a release
wrong.
Date. You weren't totally wrong.
I wasn't totally wrong. I heard the October part you said.
October 13th.
All right. So everybody get your pre-orders
then.
In. Okay. I gotcha. Do you have your pre-order already?
No.
Really?
I don't have a record player.
Oh, this is only for a vinyl.
Well, it's vinyls. She's releasing a cassette.
Do you have a cassette player?
I don't
player?
Have a cassette player and a CD player. I don't know. Maybe in my car.
What
I
is
have
this?
A CD player.
But what is? Why is she doing all this physical media?
No, I'll listen to it on Spotify. That's why I pay a monthly membership.
All right. Okay. Well, physical media. It's good. It's
it
good
is.
To have some physical
it is.
Media.
It, I would support it if I
mm-hmm.
could.
Yeah.
I did.
I say that so incredulously. But like, I do have. I have. The original Star Wars trilogy on VHS.
That's cool.
Do I have a VHS player? No.
No.
But I keep them because I'm like, I don't, it could be worth something. Who knows?
Maybe.
Go on eBay? I don't know. I wonder if they'd even work. They've been sitting in a box for so long.
Your things that you're just
my
so prepared.
My things, yeah. Where moth may come and destroy my VHS tapes of Star Wars.
Honestly, yeah. Might.
Yeah, probably already have been done.
It's not like there are many VHS players around. So
no. No, it'll look good on a shelf maybe someday.
Yeah, true.
Right now it's in a box.
It's just art.
Yep. Did you have any other thoughts?
No, that's about all I got. The Hebrews passage was good. That was also challenging. I tried to wrap that in there a little bit and also just hard.
Yeah.
But it's about to get into the cloud of witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Isn't that
yep.
the next verses?
Yep. The conviction of things not seen. Yeah.
Yeah,
this is kind of the Hebrews passage we're talking about is Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. They cut out verses 4 through 7 in there. This is this is the kind of, you know, talking about all these people that died before receiving mm-hmm. the promise, because, you know, we look forward to a kingdom that is to be. So that's the connection, I think, to the Luke, is this.
Right.
We have to always be looking forward to this kingdom that will someday be, because all of these people throughout scriptures, they died without receiving, you know, they lived as resident aliens in the land. It's the thing I always say if somebody dies in mm-hmm. the congregation, if I get up in front of the congregation to give announcements and I say, we remember that we have no kingdom, but we seek one that is to come,
mm-hmm.
then people, I could see people in the congregation sit up and lean forward a little bit, because I'm about to say so-and-so has claimed the promises of their baptism and they died. But that's how I always preface it, is that we have no abiding city, but we seek one that is to come.
Yeah.
So-and-so has claimed the promises of their baptism, and that's how it's done. Mm-hmm. And it comes from texts like this from Hebrews, where it talks about not having that kingdom. We're foreigners on earth. We're all just passing through. You know, we're waiting for our kingdom to come. So to get to that Luke's passages is, you know, why are you taking care of your little abundances of stuff? You know, why are you preparing all these mm-hmm. things? You're not prepared for what is to come.
Right.
The master of the house is coming. You should be prepared. And that has nothing to do with your things. So there's the connection. But yeah, it's a hard one. It's a weird one.
Yep.
And like we always say, there's just not enough time.
There's not enough time.
To preach on all the angles of it. But
nope.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
If you have any questions or comments or concerns or whatever,
don't call me this week.
Don't call Pastor Dana. She'll be in Cancun, but you can call me or come to church. I'd be happy to talk to you, and I'll write down notes, and I will pass them off to Pastor Dana when she gets back. But we'll talk to you all soon. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.